Okay.
And then they were shutting it down at 10 o'clock at night, so you had no water pressure. They reduced the water pressure in general just to reduce consumption.
Sure.
Because if it makes you have to stand there longer while you're brushing your teeth, you know, but the, right. it uses less water.
But they brought in non-potable water, right? Or well, I believe potable or potable?
The problem they're worried about is that all water systems have cracks in them, and when you put them, when you shut that whole system down, there could be a potential for water that had leaked out of the system to leak back into the system. That's their concern.
I don't understand.
Well, you have a pipe that's pressurized.
Yeah.
If you have a leak, which they all leak, so that when that pipe is under pressure, that water's going to flow outside. But say that creates a puddle around the pipe.
Okay.
When you turn that pressure off, if that puddle is under any kind of force, if it's above that pipe, that they're worried that that water will then get pulled back into the
pipe.
Oh,
I see.
That's why they're under a boil order.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It is a precaution.
Yeah, I thought it was because they were bringing in water in trucks to refill that tank.
Yeah, I think it's just the fat more so that could be possible also, but the explanation that I heard was the crack explanation, which makes sense to me.
Why were the tanks low to begin with? Do you know?
The pump was probably giving them trouble.
Okay.
And the consumption, I don't know that those
tanks... The one from the ground was giving them trouble, right? That's a 1,500-foot well.
Right.
Is what I read.
Right.
Okay.
That one almost sounds like it might be a submersible.
That took 2 to 3 days just to find the pump, just to retrieve the pump so they could put a new one in, and that's going to be around the clock this weekend.
Right.
Starting today.
Well, bear in mind, this is not the one that you run down to the supply house on the corner and pick up.
Yeah, right, right.
You know?
This is one deep, 1,500 feet
right.
below the earth's surface.
Right, so I believe it was going to take them 2 days to pull the pipe out, too.
Wow.
Which is a big deal. I know how they do it on a residential
right,
well because
right.
it's in 21 foot sticks.
Okay.
But that's a big deal. I know we had a meeting of the transportation board, county transportation board over at the Havasu Library, and Steve Latosky, who's the public works director, asked me if it was okay if he would participate by phone rather than driving down here because he was in the midst of the water crisis. And
oh
it's like,
goodness.
Yeah, it definitely. You know, the transportation committee is important, but that people being out of water is way more important.
Steve's on the ground floor of everything, as we found out last Friday. Steve Latosky was in the studio.
Right.
So I don't know if you heard that show or not, but yeah, good stuff. Hey, folks, you're not going to believe this. Music requested today by Supervisor Ron Gould, Scorpions. How do you know who the Scorpions are?
Because I was a kid in the 80s.
Very good. Just like me. All right, so...
I was probably an adult in the 80s, if I think about it.
Animal... Yeah, well, technically I was an adult in the 80s. I turned 18 in the 80s.
There you go.
There you go. Early 80s.
I'm a little older than you, but...
Right. So Don't Make No Promises by the Scorpions off one of my favorite albums, Animal Magnetism. And we're with Supervisor Ron Gould from District 5 in Mojave County. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. I'm going to tell you about a life jacket exchange that's happening. This is in Lake Havasu, isn't it?
Generally, they have life jacket exchanges by lakes.
Right. Or rivers.
That's true.
Or well,
water in general.
Not so much water tanks, though.
That's true.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I had to play the zoo in honor of your ranch, right? We used to get a rooster update. Remember that?
Yeah, I
now
got...
Now you have like 5 roosters.
5, yeah. I got about 25.
Roosters?
Yeah.
How do they get along?
They're actually okay. If you keep them away from the hens, they're not so apt to fight.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I had no clue. Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. I just know they like to fight when they're, you know, one-on-one.
Yeah,
so.
You do not have to make them fight. They
right.
We've actually played rooster toss yesterday. I have 2 pens, and one the chicken and the ducks are in one pen, and the roosters on the other. And the goats had been built a coalition of evil with the roosters to tear the chicken wire so that the roosters could get through to the hens. My. And so I had to I'd fix the fence, and then we had to catch the roosters in fishing net. It was how we do it.
Oh.
And then they get break into a big fight because then you put them back together, and they forgot that was the rooster that they were sleeping next to the day before.
You said rooster toss. I was thinking a cat juggling. You know?
No, it wasn't.
From the jerk.
Yeah, they don't really get tossed.
Anyway, speak out.
Sent gently down with the fishing net.
Brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, GDK CPA LLC. I'm trying to get through this with a straight face. Springburg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Arizona Krav Maga.
There you go.
Yeah, Luca Zana. Exactly. We stream live, of course, at KNTRTalk.com. If you're in your car, you get to your office, or where you're going, put the browser to KNTRTalk.com. Our show archives are there as well if you miss any of the jocularity in today's show.
Yeah, I was up at
remember
the
Father Mulcahy? He used to say jocularity.
I was up at the Temple of Freedom, the Social Contact Club, almost two weeks ago.
I saw the photo. Yeah,
it was on the Luca Zana podcast radio
right.
show.
Oh, you too?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did one of
which
those.
Which plays on another station. But.
The one where Luca sort of interviews you the first 10 minutes, but it's all Luca?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Folks, there's a life jacket exchange going on next week, next Saturday. The Mojave County Sheriff's Office Division of Boating Safety in partnership with the Arizona Game and Fish Department is hosting a life jacket exchange next Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon at the London Bridge Beach stage in Lake Havasu City. Exchange your worn, torn, or otherwise unserviceable life jacket for a new vest-style life jacket for free. Orange Type 2 life jackets will not be accepted as part of the exchange program. The life jackets are exchanged on a first-come, first-serve basis, so be early. There you go.
So that's
what
I always
do you thought
think
they of
that? I thought they gave you the
I thought they
the
did
basic
too.
Life jacket. I didn't know now they're giving you the upgraded version or something.
I don't know. At least it's not the belt, right? Remember the back in the day?
Those are awesome. That's like 19.
You like those.
They're just funny.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we used to go to Lake Mojave all the time.
It'd be kind of like a bobber with those belts on.
That's what everybody wore, though. It was just they slip up under your arms anyway when you actually go in the water.
All right. So your transportation committee had a public input session?
Yeah, actually.
You had two of them, right?
Well, they have their quarterly anyway. But just no one ever, they don't put out a presser to let you know that they're actually occurring. And I had it, issue.
Well, Barbara did.
Yeah, that's, yeah Barbara's my,
Oh, I see.
In-house presser.
You're talking about the county in general.
They don't really promote that. I think they probably have to put public notice somewhere, but it's probably in the Kingman newspaper. But that's where they take input. Every supervisor has two members of that transportation committee. And they take a look at funding, what the county's going to spend their transportation money on that year, and come up with the five-year plan. So they come up with a new five-year plan every year. And they Alamo Road goes southeast out of Yucca. It's a county highway. It's a scenic route. And you got some more people living out there now. And for about the last 20 years, it's continuously been every time they'll put stuff on there, and it just gets pushed back.
Easy for you to say,
yeah, apparently
right?
It isn't easy for me to say. So every year it gets pushed back, and then it actually dropped off what they were going to do out there. So the folks it got dropped off last year, so they were unhappy about that. So I said, hey, if you want to get it put back on, show up at the meeting.
Right.
So that's what they did, so we'll see what happens.
Interesting.
But the problem is it's a balancing act anyway, because if you put one thing on, you got to take something else off.
I was just going to give out the speak out line number, 854-KNTR, 854-5687, and somebody read my mind because we have a phone call. Caller, you're live on speak out.
Yeah, I got two questions. One, if they already know that some states are going to lose people in the House of Representatives and stuff, when are the local census results going to be available? And question number two, the water situation up there in that Golden Valley.
Yeah.
Yet this country lets like EPCOR, you know, out of Canada, own water companies like Bullhead, and I know Apple Valley, California, and even down here in Desert Hills.
Right.
And, you know, they're screwing it to the residents. And you would think water is a strategic item. What happens in a couple of years that Canada, all of a sudden, and the United States don't go to war? They're going to shut off all our water.
They don't have the water rights. The water rights lie with the area. They just administer the water rights. So it's not their water to take.
They're just administrators.
They own the system that distributes the water. They don't own the water rights.
There you go.
The property owners do. And it through the...
Yeah, because I can see it turn into, like, you know, that movie Chinatown where, you know, Owens Lake in California was turned into a desert wasteland,
sure.
You know?
Yeah, we're on the receiving end of that, is a general rule of thumb. And people don't realize that the Colorado River Compact, most of the signatory states signed in the 1920s. Arizona did not sign until after World War II. And they didn't sign because they didn't think they were getting a very good deal, and they really didn't. And
out of the three states,
right,
you get
the lead. And Governor Pyle actually declared war in California over the building of the Parker Dam. So he sent troops to Parker.
Oh, that's interesting. What about the census numbers he was asking about?
They were supposed to have come out in April, but since they used COVID as an excuse for everything, I'm kind of thinking they're not going to come out until next month.
Oh, yeah, or for something for Biden to gloat about, I'm sure.
Well, he set us free and said we don't have to wear a mask if we get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. What was his last one? That you could celebrate 4th of July with your own family if you got vaccinated and stayed 6 feet apart. It's like we really follow your stupid rules, Biden.
Well, what about a follow-up on the Mount Rushmore situation, right? Can we now celebrate fireworks at Mount Rushmore? Remember those were canceled by the Park Service?
Yeah.
Christy Noem had a fit about that.
Right.
Yeah.
She should have just popped them off.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. You got anything else, Colin?
The Indians up there still want to claim that back and say, no, this coming down. So
right.
The Mexicans want their land back too, but they decided to send people up here to occupy it instead.
I was going to say, occupied Mexico? Or the people
We bought it fair
Tucson.
And square.
The people in Tucson do, right?
We bought it fair and square. Right. Actually, I think we're above the line for the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo and the Gadsden Purchase. We were in the Gadsden Purchase. But I think everything south of the Gila River was from the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo.
Right.
But bear in mind, we kicked Mexico's butt in the war and then made them sign a deal. So I guess they signed under distress.
Caller, we're up
they're going to win anyhow.
They're just going to.
We're up against a break. You got anything else?
Biden's going to let them all in anyhow, so they're just going to take it over. So. That's it. I'll let you go.
All right, thanks. I was wondering if you heard me. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, by the way. 854-KNTR, 854-5687. If you have something to speak out with, our supervisor, Ron Gould, not my supervisor, but most
a supervisor.
People north of the Mason-Dixon line, right?
Right?
All right. Which is also known as Kiowa?
North of Kiowa and McCullough.
All right.
I think I'm the only person that knows where the line is.
I kind of thought pretty good transition here, go from Scorpions to Triumph, because I saw one after the other at the US Festival.
There you go.
So it's kind of perfect. Fight the good fight by Triumph. And we're with District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. Stay with us after some great music from a Canadian power trio. That's right. Three guys making all that noise. Believe that?
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Back with more in a moment. right, we're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, Shagru's Family of Restaurants, Better Business Bureau, samsguns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Vestley, and Lori Rule. And we're with District 5 Mojave County Supervisor Ron Gould, and we have another phone call, Ron. Maybe they want to talk about Caitlyn Jenner.
There you go.
All right. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, Ron. I just got a letter from the courthouse written talking about the jury selection process, and they want me to fill out a questionnaire and send it back. And I have some questions before I do that, and it's impossible to get in touch with anyone to talk to about it and get the questions answered down there at the courthouse. I was wondering if you might have any suggestions on how to get around that telephone situation at the courthouse.
Yeah, that's interesting. We just, the clerk of the court, we just gave her the Justice of the Peace position. So I don't know if that has anything to do with
right.
Maybe they got a little chaos.
Viral Intanel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you call Barbara, my assistant, on Monday, maybe she can help you get through that, the gatekeeper. We don't run the courts. The courts get to run themselves. Because of the separation of powers. So the supervisors, we control their budget, but after that, they pretty much do what they want. They work for the Supreme Court.
Well, thank you. I'll talk to Barbara on Monday and see what I can come up with. Thank
okay.
you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. I would imagine the one person that Kenny calls more than our show is Barbara.
Could be.
Just saying.
Barbara's retiring, too. Which,
oh, no.
Yeah, but so I've got a new assistant,
right.
Valerie.
Right.
And she came from, I actually stole her from Jeannie Kinnich and Christy Blair.
Oh, okay.
Because
yeah.
poaching is actually legal.
Yeah, Jeannie will be on the program May 26th, right after the school district. School district's going to do a half hour, and then Jeannie will be on.
Oh, okay.
Not sure which hat she's going to wear yet.
She
asked me. I said,
yeah, she's party chairman.
I said, wear your MAGA hat.
Yeah. Yeah, she's party chairman.
So there you go. All right, well, we were talking before the show, and I said, so give me some topics, Ron. And you brought up Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, it's
what the heck?
No, it's just funny that you're talking about the California recall election of their governor. They got enough signatures to put it on the ballot. They do it differently than we do it.
A lot.
In various ways,
it's an open.
Yeah,
recall.
It's a jungle primary essentially.
And recall, right?
Yeah, and I think there's two. They do a two questioner. They it's shall Gavin Newsom be recalled? Yes, no. And then the second question is, if Gavin Newsom is recalled, who do you want for governor? In Arizona, it's one question. Mm-hmm. So essentially, the incumbent is a candidate in the recall election. So it's a little different. If you think about the dynamic of that, it's a little bit different. But it's interesting that Caitlyn Jenner, you know, Bruce Jenner modified, has risen to the top of the pack of the governor. And actually he has some pretty decent ideas. But my big strategy for him, I think I'd just give up the woman thing and just claim it was a publicity stunt. Go back to being Bruce. And I think he would do better that way than he would as a transgendered individual.
Did Sam Scarmato just jump into your body? Or
no,
what
I've been thinking about this for a while. It's like I would just get, he needs to have his consultant just put it out, get a haircut.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about that.
Get a suit.
Yeah, get a haircut and get a real job. So let's talk about that process of recall, because Gray Davis was recalled.
Yeah.
Did Schwarzenegger, was all those 100 and whatever candidates that were up for governor when Gray Davis was recalled, was that all one election?
Yeah, it's a jungle. It's similar to their jungle primary.
Okay, so all of them ran against Gray Davis.
No.
No, how does that work?
The first question is Gray Davis, yes or no?
Oh, okay.
Or shall Gray Davis be recalled? Yes or
Should
no.
Should he be removed as governor,
right.
in other words?
Right.
Right.
And then, if so, who do you want for governor?
I see.
I don't know if
Gary
they put,
Coleman.
I don't know if they put the governor back into the mix. I'm assuming if a majority, but theoretically, the governor a majority of people could want to recall the governor, and then, but he could still prevail in the jungle election.
Right.
So I'm not sure if he becomes a candidate or not.
But now Gavin Newsom, with all of this federal money, is promising bailouts for businesses, for individuals, and right on the eve of his recall.
Right. But bear in mind, there's a lot of people in California. What, did they have 40 million people in California?
I don't know.
And I think it was about 3 million. It was 2 and change to get the recall on the ballot. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he has lost popular support. It just means he had enough people that were motivated to go out and gather signatures.
Interesting.
And I believe the majority of the signers were Republicans, and then there was a lot of independents that signed also, and I think the it was a minority of Democrats that signed.
I'm trying to remember. Was Gray Davis the first California governor to be recalled?
I don't know.
I think he was.
Well, they made their crummy power deal. They attempted to deregulate electricity by deregulating the wholesale price only, and that just didn't fly for them. That was with the, not EBCOR, what the heck is the...
Enron. Yeah.
You know, so that, and when they start having to turn power off, although, God, you're turning power off on windy days in Northern California, but that's only Republican counties that we turn power off to.
Right. So we're running a series of paid political ads for Article 5, right? I'm thinking of the Power of Fives.
No, it's Article 5,
their PSAs about the Convention of
States. Yeah, it's Convention of States is what they call it.
What's your thought on that?
Well, the problem with, and...
You're not in favor of this.
No. I'm in favor of term limits and maybe a balanced budget amendment depending on how you write it. But the danger of what they call... Convention of States, which is actually a constitutional convention, is the fact there's no rules. If you read the text of Article 5, which is only just one paragraph, there's no rules there. And so the fear is that you're going to have a runaway convention. The promoters of, you know, Mark Levin and the other people promoting Convention of the States claim that it's going to be a single subject, but you have no way to limit that.
Well, we went over this with Rick Murphy on Monday, who is one of the publicity people for Convention of States in Arizona. And it's a volunteer position. And he was talking about they start from the ground up. They form a rules committee, okay? And then that committee makes the rules of the convention.
Okay.
And then one delegate is selected from each state.
Well, that's their rules, though.
Right. Well, I see what you're
saying. There's no rules.
Okay.
So it's a free-for-all for rules.
So how else would we get term limits for federal officials?
Well, that's the problem is you're going to get it is to get it come out of Congress.
You're leaving the rooster in charge of the hen house.
Or you put enough pressure on
it.
See, if you look at the Tea Party Revolution in 2010, and if you go back to the Republican Revolution in 94, you can turn people out of Congress, but it takes a concerted effort to do it. And that's just what people have to do instead of just automatically voting for the incumbent, taking the easy path out. They need to take a hard look at this kind of stuff.
So, but
let me give you a couple examples.
Okay, go ahead.
So the promoters of a convention of the state will tell you, well, the states would never ratify something that was bad. Okay, are these the same states that ratified the income tax? Are these the same states that ratified the direct election of United States senators, which destroyed states' rights? Mm-hmm. So they cut their own throat with that. And these are the same folks that ratified prohibition alcohol. I'm not that willing to let it all hinge on the states. The states would then be our backstop. And regarding rules... Before we had the United States Constitution, we had what were called the Articles of Confederation.
Correct.
Okay, our Constitution came out of a runaway convention. They chose delegates to go in and amend the Articles of Confederation. They came out with the Constitution. When they went in, it required 100% ratification. When they amended that to only require 3/4 ratification. That's the problem is there's no rules.
Okay.
And it's not that I support term limits, I support balanced budgets, but I also don't want to open up the Constitution in a reckless way. To me, it's a last ditch effort. It's right before you vote to secede. Then you might try that.
Well, the other thing is it's never been done before, but you mentioned the Republican Revolution of 94.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I mean, the media has always been a little left, but not as left as it is now, and you did not have social media in 94 either. I just think that the people are swayed a lot more easily than they were now than they were then. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and a lot of that is because of a dumbed down education system that doesn't teach them the Constitution.
That's absolutely right.
You know, they teach them the segments that they want to hear, and they teach them that that judicial activism is a proper way to amend the Constitution by changing the meaning of words.
And keeping kids.
And that's our fault because we let that happen.
And keeping kids out of school in highly, very dense areas like Chicago, New York, L.A. You're keeping them out of school for a year and a half, just about.
Right.
Right? I mean, they're not going to go back to school full time in the classroom until, what, September?
I guess it's whenever the union hacks tell them that they can go back to, tell the president they can go back to school.
Isn't that just, I mean, you just created another generation of kids that were held back for almost two grades.
And if you take a look at
They weren't held back two grades, but their age level, they're not at the age they should be.
Right. They got older.
So they're going to graduate when they're 20? What happens at the age of consent when they're 18 and they want to leave home?
They'll all graduate. I think they suspended the testing this year.
A lot of kids won't even stay home after the age of 18. They're gone.
No. No, they're not going to.
And they don't finish their education.
They're not.
That's my point.
Well, yeah, they may.
That's part of the dumbing down.
They're going to graduate. Whether they're done or not is subject to debate.
My point is that's part of the dumbing down.
Right.
It all plays in together.
Right. And, well, they don't teach you American history. You know, essentially now we focus on the flaws in the U.S. system, and many of these flaws are flaws that we've fixed. You know, they focus on slavery. Right. We fix slavery. You know, a lot of things that – and we've done things that are wrong and things that are messed up, but we don't do those things anymore. And rather they compare the United States to perfection rather than to all the other countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really not grading on a curve is not not necessarily the way to go, but to compare us, you know, that we've failed because we aren't perfect. I think that's wrong. Because before the United States, you belonged to somebody else. You belonged to some guy that somehow got himself installed as your king.
It's the ultimate irony when millionaires like LeBron James or Oprah Winfrey or Colin Kaepernick's a millionaire when they protest the system that made them a millionaire.
Right.
Give me a break.
Right.
All right, so I want to talk about this article that was in the paper this week about a pipeline or diversion or something that would resupply the Colorado River with water from the Mississippi River.
Sure.
You got a call on this.
Yeah, I did. The Brandon Messick with the Today's News Herald gave me a call and asked me what I thought about it. And people have tossed that around quite a bit. We have areas in the country that have too much water and it causes them problems. You know, and we have areas like the Southwest where we lack water. And I don't think there's anything that it's not unfeasible to move that water around in the country, but you got to look at the expense of doing that.
Right.
You know, and apparently it's a referral that goes through the House. It's just essentially sends a letter to the members of Congress to tell them to take a look at this.
Geographically, I'm thinking, I mean, doesn't this have to cross the continental divide?
Yeah, that's quite a pump. We can
Thank
do
you.
Anything. We can, you know,
right.
we can do anything.
Right,
just
right, right.
about.
We can put helicopters
but,
on Mars, right?
Right. But yeah. is it actually economically feasible? My idea that I always toss around was that Arizona might want to pay California to desalinate seawater, and then we'll take their a lot, you know, whatever, you know, an equal amount of water out of the Colorado River.
Would you take it from the Gulf of California?
Yeah, well, not if you're going to have them do it.
No, I mean, geographically, that would make more sense than go to the Pacific Ocean, right?
Well, if it depends on where you want to. I would think their water, they need their water in Southern California because that's where the mass of their population lives. So it would probably be off the coast of California.
Okay.
But that's just a pie-in-the-sky idea. We do have a desalination plant on the Gila River down by Yuma. And what it was for, they built this thing back in the 90s, and then they immediately mothballed it. But about 8 or 10 years ago, they fired it back up because they'd never done a test run to see what the costs were on that to desalinate. And this is farm water farmers take that water out of the Gila and use it for irrigation, and then it gets salty.
Right.
And it's too salty to return. What they wanted to do with it is use it to make the Mexican allotment of water for the Colorado River.
There's another idea that's been floated, too, and it's actually gaining traction on draining Lake Powell.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I don't know if you'd ever heard that. There's several articles about it. George Knapp was a proponent, as well as the Sierra Club, which is strange.
Oh, there we go.
Strange bedfellows right there, right? But, no, the Lake Powell loses 6 times more water through sandstone seepage than Mead does through evaporation.
Interesting.
Very interesting. And they say it's caused irreparable damage. The water level now in Lake Powell to that ecosystem, if it were ever returned to a river. You know, like it's supposed to be a river.
Well, yeah, before we dammed it. You had floods.
Yeah, exactly.
You had a flood in the springtime, and then it was dry in the wintertime.
But that dam that holds Powell back, they've been talking about decommissioning it anyway because it doesn't really provide power to anybody. So
I've been in that dam. When I was in the legislature, I was up there. Page was part of my district.
Right.
But I was up there. It was kind of interesting. We were inside the dam, and they could tell the way they gauged the deflection of the dam. The dam, you know, bows in upstream into the lake, and they gauge the deflection, and they did that with a plumb line, string, and a wood ruler.
Right.
So they inside of that, they had a plumb line that was dropped down inside of the dam, and the guy would come by and a couple times a day, and he would measure the distance of the string from his mark, and then write it down in a pad. So there's a pencil, and a wooden ruler right there on a string in a string line.
All right.
But it worked.
We pretty much covered the gamut today.
Sure.
Supervisor Ron Gold from District 5 in Mojave County, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
As always, stay out of the attics. It's getting a little warm up there, by the way.
Yeah, we do what we have to do.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot in a second. I'm Paul Lavoie. All right, we're back on Speak Outs, and next week's schedule, on Monday, Lake Havasu City Police Chief Dan Doyle and Fire Chief Pete Palafis on the First Responders Show. We've got Kathy Clark from Faith and Grace, Inc. on Tuesday, Mojave Mortgage and Coldwell Banker Real Estate on the Real Estate Power Hour on Wednesday, Mike McAndrew from Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Springberg McAndrew Insurance will be in on Thursday, and then on Friday, Go Lake Havasu CEO Terrence Concannon and Mike Bonney from GDK CPA. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Hannity is next, preceded by Fox News. Have a safe weekend.